With a Republican-controlled House and Senate, the GOP-backed budget passed both floors Wednesday as expected, but not without much debate. Nearly every senator spoke on the issue, but their descriptions of the budget differed widely between the parties. This is Republican Senator Russell Prescott of Kingston.
This is the best budget that I have ever seen.
And here is Democratic Senator Andrew Hosmer of Laconia.
It's fiscally irresponsible and will jeopardize New Hampshire's future prosperity. We are capable of a better budget.
Members butted heads over several issues that did not make it into the budget, including continuing Medicaid expansion past 2016 and a $12 million state employee pay raise. But the emphasis again fell on the business tax cuts that Democrats, along with the governor, say are unfunded and will create a hefty revenue loss in future budgets. Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley says even if the governor does veto this budget, business tax cuts aren't going anywhere.
These are modest, phased in, but they're vitally important. And I think we will stick to our guns on them. We have to.
Over in the House, there was only a modest debate, with a handful of Democratic members echoing similar concerns, such as the choice to tap into the estimated $49 million surplus from the current budget, which is not uncommon during the budget process. But Democratic Representative Mary Jane Wallner of Concord argues the proposal relies in part on money that's already accounted for.
This budget uses carry-forward funds that are not really available. So while the budget appears to fund important programs, the reality is that the departments will have to make cuts in these very same programs along the way to keep the budget in balance.
But House Finance Chair Neil Kirk denies such claims, adding that the budget is fiscally sound.
This is a reasonable budget. It's substantially better than the House budget in terms of services it provides, and it maintains the principles that animate New Hampshire. We live within our means.
And unlike most previous budget cycles, once both chambers passed the two-year spending plan, their jobs weren't over. The House and Senate also had to vote on a temporary state spending plan that would take effect July 1st in case the governor follows through with her pledge to veto it. Debates also broke out on the two floors on what the so-called continuing resolution should look like. Democrats called to base spending levels off of higher 2016 appropriations, arguing that if funded at 2015 spending levels, key social services will not see the funding increase they fought for in the proposed plan. But House Majority Leader Jack Flanagan of Brookline says this move would essentially be like cherry-picking the budget.
I believe it's unfair to the people of New Hampshire to say that you oppose a budget and simultaneously offer an amendment that seeks to borrow from it.
Multiple Republican leaders, including Senate President Chuck Morse, strongly urged the governor to back down from her call to veto it, saying it will do more harm than good.
Every other subject matter that went into this budget is what's going to be hurt if there's a veto on this budget. Because I don't see where a veto helps the state of New Hampshire.
But Governor Maggie Hassan said after the vote that she stands by her decision to veto. If the governor does follow through on her promise, lawmakers don't expect a new budget to come together until October. For NHPR News, I'm Paige Sutherland.